You are watching your nation being gutted in real time. Welcome to Bracktown Broadcast News from Monday, February 5th, 2024. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. From every possible vector, the United States of America is being utterly destroyed. Now we have a new deal in the Senate, a deal on a bill that will allow 1.5 million illegals into the United States every year. And on top of that, it offers, I believe, what, $60 billion in support to Ukraine. So another $60 billion to go into the pockets of the corrupt officials there. And then $14 billion to Israel to keep dropping bombs on civilians in Gaza, to keep bombing hospitals and refugee camps and apartment complexes and everything else that they're bombing. So this bill is absolutely insane. Any senator who supports it should probably be considered for criminal prosecution against the United States of America, because what they're doing is straight up treason. I want to read for you also some of the replies from Greg Price. Says, not only does this bill codify 1.5 million illegal border crossings into law, but the border emergency that gets implemented at 5,000 crossings per day in a week can be overturned by Joe Biden. It also locks in green card giveaways through the year 2030. Representative Dan Bishop in the House says, quote, I'm a hard no on any bill legitimizing illegal immigration. As I read the swamp's latest amnesty disaster, I'm already noticing many damaging and dangerous provisions. America last, Ukraine first, from the DC swamp. By the way, this bill even includes money for Ukrainian border security. That's right. It mentions specifically money for securing the borders of Ukraine, but of course, leaving the borders of the U.S. wide open. I mean, this is outrageous that a deal has been made for this bill in the Senate. Unbelievable. Representative Ana Paulina Luna says that any Republican who votes for this will betray the American people. She says it's a massive issue that a border bill for America is more about funding the wars of foreign countries rather than our own interests and our own people. The so-called border security provisions codify amnesty and would force future presidents to allow illegals across our border. And then Jesse Kelly on X says, quote, every sponsor of this bill should be arrested and put on trial. Yeah, I think that sentiment is agreed by a large number of people, by the way. Representative Matt Gaetz has chimed in and said he agrees with Ana Paulina Luna. So that's notable. And by the way, Representative Steve Scalise, he tweeted out the following, quote, let me be clear. The Senate border bill will not receive a vote in the House. Here's what the people pushing this deal aren't telling you. It accepts 5,000 illegal immigrants a day and gives automatic work permits to asylum recipients, a magnet for more illegal immigration. I mean, this is the point where the line in the sand has to be defended. I mean, this is straight up invasion and destruction of the United States of America. And if this Senate bill is approved, it would codify into law 5,000 illegals a day in perpetuity. 5,000 illegals a day. Why can't that be just zero? You know, the law should be zero illegals. I mean, we have plenty of immigration vectors for legal immigrants, people who want to apply for immigration, people who want to get green cards or student visas or work visas or whatever. All of that already exists. We shouldn't say, and on top of that, 5,000 illegal people a day can come into the United States. It's straight up treason. Every member of Congress, Senate or House who supports this bill is a criminal traitor to these United States of America. And it should be noted that when America collapses and the new America is born out of the ashes of the collapse of the old America, I hope that these treasonous criminals are arrested and prosecuted for their crimes against this nation. How insane is it that they just keep printing money in America and then handing it out to other countries? And in the case of Israel, handing it out to a country that is using that money to commit acts of genocide. Just straight up genocide. I mean, mass genocide, extermination of an entire ethnic group of human beings known as Palestinians. Now, back in the USA, here's a headline out of Zero Hedge. Denver starts booting migrants from shelters as city nears breaking point. Turns out that Denver, Colorado is reaching a breaking point as migrant arrivals continue to overwhelm the self-proclaimed sanctuary city. Mayor Mike Johnston, of course a Democrat, said that the city may have to stop accepting more illegals, or migrants, as he said, and they're going to have to begin the process of kicking them out of overcrowded shelters. Quote, "I think our city is very close to its breaking point now," he told Fox and Friends. "When talking to leaders in D.C. about why we need them to take action here," he says, "we have successfully welcomed almost 40,000 migrants in the last year." 40,000? That's just 1 week in Texas. I mean, you know, welcome to the club. So it says from the story, according to Fox 31 out of Denver, that the city is going to be clearing out shelters used by migrants. Really? What are they going to do? Just throw them on the streets, right? So starting on Monday, 150 migrants in city shelters will be discharged. And then that number will fluctuate between 50 to 100 every day until all 3,800 are out of the 10 shelters currently run by the city. Well, so they're going to throw them on the streets. What are they going to do there? I mean, obviously, they're going to end up either in other shelters or they're going to have to commit crimes in order to, you know, feed themselves. So they're going to be breaking and entering. They're going to be maybe carjacking. They're going to be robbing people, stealing, shoplifting. I mean, if this is Denver's plan, it's a horrible plan. And, you know, Colorado used to be a red state, but it got taken over by the libtards over the last few years. And of course, the city of Denver is full of, you know, woke morons. And so, you know, they declared themselves a sanctuary city during Trump's administration. And now they're getting exactly what they wanted. And it's only 4,000 people. It's only 4,000. That's nothing. Hey, Governor Abbott, send Denver 40,000, which, again, that's only 1 week in Texas. Send Denver 40,000 migrants and see how that looks to them, huh? Maybe at some point, the Democrat governors and even mayors will demand that Joe Biden do something about the wide open border. I mean, that's the whole point of Greg Abbott, Governor Abbott, sending all these migrants to these other cities. It's not that Abbott wants to distribute illegals across the country, although temporarily that's what he's doing. It's that he wants to show them how bad this problem is. He wants to show them that if they don't support defending the border, that we're going to turn Colorado into a border state. And we're going to turn Washington into a border state. We're going to turn Illinois into a border state, on and on. In other words, we're going to share this problem with the whole country until the whole country decides that we've got to have a secure border. And that's why it's unbelievable that in the Senate, they have a deal to allow 5,000 people a day to cross the border. Well, I mean, again, here's Denver can't even handle 4,000 people in total. What are we supposed to do with 5,000 people a day coming into Texas? Well, I guess the answer is going to be ship them to Denver, ship them to Chicago, ship them to New York, ship them to Seattle and Los Angeles. And I guess this is going to go on for quite a while because the Democrats are a suicide cult. I guess they don't care that their nation is being destroyed. I think it's their priority. From Revolver News, CNN host left speechless. New York City illegals exploit soft-on-crime liberal cities, but fear red states. So it turns out from this story that even these illegals, they go steal in blue cities like New York City, Chicago, Denver, whatever. And then they get out of those cities and they go to red states to try to live and spend their money. But they don't want to steal in the red states. You know why? Because if they get caught, they're going to get prosecuted. Or they might get shot in the process of breaking into somebody's home or breaking into a business, because, of course, the Second Amendment is alive and well in red states. So the illegals specifically target the blue cities for their crime sprees, and then they go back to red states to live without stealing all the time. Isn't that interesting? So it's kind of like the blue cities are getting exactly what their leaders deserve, or, and their voters. I mean, think about it. It's the Democrat voters in these blue cities that voted for this. They voted for Joe Biden. They voted for open borders. They voted for sanctuary status. They voted for their woke-tard governors and mayors. They're getting exactly what they voted for, which is the total destruction of their cities and, in some cases, their states. And even worse, these blue cities almost universally defunded police because they said that policing was racist. Remember that? So they don't have a sufficient police response. They don't prosecute criminals. They let them out. There's no bail in many of these cities. You know, I mean, really, from the perspective of you and I looking at this, it's kind of like, well, these blue cities are getting exactly what they deserve. They voted for this. They chose this. They defunded the police. They kept the borders wide open. They issued a sanctuary status alert, invited all the illegals to their own cities. They disarmed their own citizens with gun control. And now the illegals are overrunning their cities and carrying out crimes. And it's kind of like, gosh, what did you think was going to happen? You created the perfect conditions for violent, illegal criminals to come into your cities and do whatever they want. Why wouldn't they go there? I mean, you just, as a city like Denver, basically you just announced to the whole world, come to Denver and steal. And you won't even be prosecuted. You won't even be arrested. You'll get free food, free housing, free everything. And if you get caught, don't worry. You'll have a get out of jail free card. I mean, there's no incentive for them not to come. And Joe Biden is even creating more incentives. The Department of Education, this is a story out of Campus Reform, could push forward Biden plan to expand college prep aid to illegal immigrants. It could extend $1.2 billion in taxpayer-funded college prep programs to illegals. More than 500,000 illegal immigrant students could become eligible to receive these benefits. I mean, can you believe this? It's not money for American citizens, the people that pay the taxes that built society here. It's for illegals. $1.2 billion, more handouts, which of course is going to invite and incentivize more illegals to come to the United States and collect more freebies. By the way, let's switch gears here to the weather that's slamming the western coast of California. For those of you listening in California, I feel for you. I hope you are safe. I know that you're well prepared if you listen to this podcast. So according to Raw's alerts, already 1 million are without power. 1 million Californians, no power. Think about how many times that we've talked about, you know, grid down scenarios and having backup power and backup communications, you know, satellite phones and what have you. Well, strong winds are hitting California right now from the west. The hurricane force gusts are exceeding 60 miles per hour at the coastline and 80 to 100 miles per hour in some coastal mountain areas. Can you imagine 100 miles an hour? It says major life-threatening flooding is possible along the southern slopes of the mountains of Southern California and powerful waves on the coastline. So, you know, once again, prepping is of the essence. It looks like California is going to face some flooding and possibly some dam problems with maybe dams overflowing. We'll see. So, of course, it's going to be rough for a few days for everybody there in terms of maybe getting groceries or having electricity work or plumbing work or all these other things. So, of course, everybody hunker down and take advantage of your preparedness supplies if you're in this affected area and help out your neighbors if you can. By the way, there's a big breaking story. We covered it on Natural News as well. Billionaire owner of OnlyFans. Now, OnlyFans is pretty much a porn site where people pay money to other people to perform sex acts, I suppose, or make videos or whatever they do. And it's porn. It's like porn payola. Well, the owner of OnlyFans is the biggest donor of the pro-Israel lobbying group AIPAC, A-I-P-A-C, which funds hundreds of lawmakers in America to do the bidding of Israel. So it turns out that there's a Ukrainian-American businessman, a billionaire and pornographer, Leonid Radvinsky, who owns 75% of OnlyFans, along with his wife, donated more than $11 million to AIPAC, according to the investigative journalism outlet The Lever. And he donated under the pseudonym Mr. Anonymous Anonymous. Yeah, I guess not so anonymous. So AIPAC provides funding to 60% of the U.S. Congress. Yeah, 60% of the members get money from this pro-Israel lobby. And if you don't do what they say, then they destroy your political career in the primaries. They get another candidate to primary you, as they say, and then they'll fund the other candidate because that candidate will do what Israel wants. So if you're wondering why the entire House and the entire Senate, with very few exceptions, goes along with everything that Israel wants, this is why. It's AIPAC, and a lot of it is porn money. So just another example of the evil that is the Israel lobby in the United States, funded by porn money, which is the exploitation of young women, mostly, but probably some men as well, and giving them financial incentives to have sex and on camera and produce porn and pursue those lifestyles and, you know, all the negative things that go along with that. The Israeli lobby is apparently not opposed to that. I mean, you know, why would they oppose that? I mean, they promote genocide. So, you know, a little porn for them is nothing compared to the genocide and war crimes that they're promoting every single day. Okay, in other news, the WHO says that cancer cases are going to soar by 77%, according to a new study, by the year 2050. They will have a 77% increase over figures reported in 2022. I wonder what new thing could be happening around the early 2020s that causes an explosion in cancer cases around the world. I wonder what that could be. Could it be spike protein? Yeah. So the WHO, which promotes the pandemic, then warns about what the pandemic is causing in terms of increased cancer cases. Yeah. And another evil organization right there. Now, in other news, this is from Reclaim the Net. Microsoft CEO says the company is working to address election disinformation and misinformation. And it turns out that the company is going to be using AI to examine what people are saying in their online speech. And although this is speculative, it could be, other news outlets have reported this, it could be that Microsoft will disable the Windows operating system of the machines on which people are carrying out any kind of, quote, misinformation or disinformation speech. So this might be a whole new level of deplatforming at the operating system level, where if you post something, like you're using Windows and you post something on Twitter that Microsoft doesn't agree with, then they could just lock up your Windows and stop you from using it. Again, it's not confirmed that's how it's going to work, but it seems to be that's where this is headed, because Bill Gates wants to rig the election. You know, just like Zuckerberg did the last time around. Microsoft CEO, well, I guess I should clarify, this isn't Bill Gates in particular. This is the CEO of Microsoft, Satya Nadella, although I'm sure that Bill Gates agrees with him. So Nadella wants to combat disinformation through the 2024 elections. Yeah, how do you think they're going to do that? They're going to weaponize the Windows operating system. Yep. And probably the browser Edge browser. They're probably going to disable the browser if you post, quote, misinformation, which is anything that they say it is. Could be just saying that you support Trump. All right, let's cover Russia now in the news. From RT, Russia-led trade bloc's de-dollarization is almost complete, says Russian Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce the Russian names. I'm doing the best I can. Well, he revealed on Friday that the share of national currencies in mutual settlements among the countries of the Eurasian Economic Union, that's EAEU, has now reached 90% and is still growing. All right, so that means the dollar is maximum 10% in those trades. 90% is not the dollar. And this is only going to continue to expand. It's going to be almost 100%, you know, in the very near future. So the EAEU, it is Russia, Kazakhstan, Belarus. It was established in 2015. It was joined by Armenia and Kyrgyzstan. And then, let's see, Vietnam became a free trade partner and so on. It's designed to ensure the free movement of goods, services, capital, and workers among member countries, according to the report here. BRICS nations are, of course, not yet at 90%, but they will be in time. De-dollarization is absolutely accelerating globally, so keep that in mind. And it turns out, by the way, that the U.S. government will have to auction off $10 trillion in dollar debt this year. Where are they going to get buyers to pony up something for $10 trillion of U.S. debt? I don't think it's going to happen. The Fed's probably going to have to print the money and then buy up the debt, and then that's going to put us on a rapid hyperinflation track. By the way, on X, Kim.com, who does surprisingly great work on breaking really amazing news, by the way. Kim.com says, quote, Putin just announced that Russia will create large buffer zones in Ukraine to protect the new territories of Russia. A Russian spring offensive seems highly likely. More large areas of Ukraine will be lost, and Biden will be made to look like a fool in the upcoming U.S. elections. So this is very interesting. Number one, Russia did announce that they're going to have larger buffer zones in Ukraine because, you know, Western countries are sending Ukraine more longer range missiles. So Russia feels like, well, we need more buffer space in order to push those missiles farther away from the border of Mother Russia, right? So this means that Russia is no doubt going to have some kind of offensive at some point, very likely in the next few months, to push westward toward Kiev and to create that buffer zone. And Russia has, of course, called up, you know, over 1 million service members and is gathering hundreds of main battle tanks and manufacturing thousands of drones and getting ready for a bigger offensive. Whether that's going to happen in the spring, it's anybody's guess. It might take longer. These things usually do. But what Kim.com says here is that Putin wants to make Biden look like a fool for the upcoming U.S. elections. Well, first of all, it's hard to make Biden look like more of a fool than he does already. But maybe Putin can add to that. Who knows? But it does bring up an interesting question. Is Putin trying to see Biden defeated because of the lunacy of the Biden regime and the Biden State Department and Victoria Nuland and all these other lunatics who have been pushing this war against Russia? Does Putin think that a Trump administration might be more amenable to negotiations and peace? I suspect that's the case, but I don't know that for sure. Now, here's what's interesting. Tucker Carlson is in Russia right now, reportedly. He's been seen there, and there's a lot of buzz about it. He is reportedly about to interview Putin. This is something that the U.S. State Department and the Biden regime did not want Tucker Carlson to do. They don't want the American people to hear from Putin. So Tucker Carlson is going to make history. He's going to interview Putin. And the buzz is that Putin is going to say something that will be an absolute historic game changer. I don't know what that thing is, but I'm anticipating it. Now, for doing this, Tucker Carlson is being called a traitor. And I think it was Bill Kristol who said that Tucker Carlson should not be allowed back into the United States, that he should be booted from the U.S. because he's daring to engage in actual journalism by interviewing the leader of a foreign nation. You know, that used to be something that journalists did all the time across even mainstream media back in the 1980s and 1990s. That's been abandoned. Now, if you interview a foreign leader, you're called a traitor. So Bill Kristol and other neocons think that Tucker Carlson should be permanently evicted from America. I have a better idea. Why don't we permanently evict Bill Kristol and all the neocons? Why don't we permanently evict Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham? How about that? And of course, the treasonous Democrats as well. How about we permanently evict Liz Cheney? To like send the neocons to Cuba or something, you know? I'm joking. That's satire. But if you're going to bring up the point, you know, you should apply it to the right people, the people who are traitors to the United States of America. Tucker Carlson is a true American. He's a patriot. He's trying to interview somebody who has something important to say, something that has to do with world events and the unfolding of history. Tucker Carlson is a real American and a real journalist versus these fake analysts, these fake neocons, and these, you know, the fake President Biden, fake senators in Arizona, you know, fake governor of Arizona. I mean, they rigged everything. It's a fake administration, you know, top to bottom. That's what the Democrats have right now. So, of course, I hope that they're completely defeated at the next election. And I'm curious as to what Putin might be doing in terms of his own kinetic action with Ukraine and maybe timing things in order to embarrass Joe Biden. So I guess we'll just have to see where that goes. All right, I have a special report coming up for you here. It's called Axis of Resistance Nations. Those are the Middle Eastern nations like Syria and Iraq and Iran and so on. Axis of Resistance Nations are waiting for the USA to collapse before launching full assault on Israel. That's my analysis based on what happened over the weekend with the U.S. bombing Yemen and Iraq and, you know, escalating all the bombings. The reason that Iran has not yet launched a full assault on Israel is because it's waiting for the U.S. to collapse. You know, financial collapse, debt collapse, civil war collapse, who knows? Secession, it's not even clear yet exactly what that's going to be. But some kind of collapse is coming. So we're going to play that special report here. And then following that, we'll have an interview with David Steinman. He's the author of a new book called Raising Healthy Kids, How to Protect Your Children from Hidden Chemical Toxins. We had a great conversation recently, and I think you'll really enjoy this interview. He's the director of the Chemical Toxin Working Group, and he's an environmental activist. And he's the author of a previous book called Diet for a Poisoned Planet. And so this is a great conversation. I encourage you to check out that book. It's pre-order right now on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble, Raising Healthy Kids, How to Protect Your Children from Hidden Chemical Toxins, David Steinman. So, yeah, it's interesting. And in this interview coming up, he and I have a disagreement about carbon dioxide and the whole climate thing, which is kind of interesting. If you listen to the interview, you'll hear that. We agree completely on the toxic chemicals, the dioxins, the heavy metals, the pesticides, herbicides, glyphosate, all that garbage, the plasticizer chemicals. But we do not see eye to eye on climate issues, which is fine. We didn't even really, that's not the focus of the interview. But I find it interesting that environmentalists, even though they can be right on the money on, you know, chemicals and heavy metals and so on, there's one molecule that they will not apply science to, and that's carbon dioxide. But I guess that's a conversation for a different day. And I found that to be true across the environmental movement as well. And even with RFK Jr. also, it's like, man, don't you see carbon dioxide is good for plants? It's not bad for plants. It's good for plants. It's part of photosynthesis. Without carbon dioxide, our planet would die. And carbon dioxide levels are really, really low right now. They're only 410 parts per million, which is a tiny fraction of the atmosphere. Our planet would be more lush with more rainforest and more crop growth. So we would help end global famine and starvation if we have higher CO2 in the atmosphere, because crops would produce higher crop yields. And it's also shown that higher levels of CO2 produces crops with more nutritional value. So if you want to end human suffering, if you want to end famine and starvation, you should support higher levels of CO2 in the atmosphere. Anyway, that interview with David Steinman is coming up. Before we get to that special report and that interview, a little funny true story that I have to share with you. Do you remember the game Donkey Kong? And in the original Donkey Kong, which we're going to play some of the screen here for you so you can see, you play a character. I think it's either Luigi or Mario. I guess it's Mario. And you have to dodge these barrels that are being rolled down these slopes by this King Kong, I guess, this giant gorilla. So this is such an odd game. First of all, I don't even know where it's called Donkey Kong, but why donkey? I don't even think there's a donkey in the game. Do you recall a donkey in the game? I mean, I don't remember seeing a donkey at all. And then in this game, your character here, I guess as Mario, has to jump over the barrels, right? And you get points for jumping over the barrels. And this gorilla keeps chucking barrels down the slopes at you. And I thought, this is a crazy thing. This is a crazy concept. Like, how could this ever happen? As a kid, I remember playing this when I was young. You know, you'd put a quarter in the arcade machine and you would play Donkey Kong. And it was very advanced for its time, although now it looks really, really ancient. But this is a game that, you know, we spent a lot of money on and had a lot of fun, spent a lot of time and so on. But never in my life did I think that this would be real. And yet, last Friday, something interesting happened at the warehouse where I was taking away some barrels because we have these 55-gallon drums. These polyethylene drums, and our warehouse is kind of being overrun with these drums because it's used to ship in a lot of raw materials that we use, such as soaps and things like that. And also like trace mineral liquid that, you know, we use for our electrolyte formulas and so on. So we end up with a lot of these barrels, and I brought my truck there to load up barrels and just try to get them out of the way from the warehouse. And sure enough, we have a giant slope inside the warehouse because we had built part of the warehouse one year and then another part like the next year. And connecting them is this giant slope. And the barrels that were ready for me to take were on a pallet stacked at the top of the slope. And so I went up there and I grabbed the barrels. And I had one of the workers down at the bottom of the slope said, you know, catch the barrels and load them into the truck. And so I started grabbing barrels. Of course, they were empty, grabbing barrels off the pallets, putting them on the slope and just letting them go. And they were rolling down the slope. And I thought to the guy that was catching them, I thought, jump, jump, Mario, jump, jump the barrels. I thought, oh, my gosh. We're doing a real world Donkey Kong right here. Except, of course, I didn't tell him to jump because that would be like a work hazard. Imagine if he tripped and fell over the barrel and then smashed his face on the concrete floor. You know, that would not be good, right? That would be a serious OSHA violation. So I did not yell jump, but I did yell Donkey Kong. And he thought that was pretty funny, too, because he knew what Donkey Kong was. So true story, never in my life did I ever think that I would be the gorilla in Donkey Kong chucking barrels down a slope. Now, if only my worker had been Italian, that would have been perfect. And if he wore like blue suspenders and a red cap, that would have been perfect. But no, that wasn't the case. In any case, I got to play a little real life Donkey Kong, and it was funny. Okay, that game dates back to 1981, by the way. There you go. 1981. Oh, crazy. They had graphics in 1981? Yeah, kind of. Not very good graphics, but they did have some graphics. Very interesting. All right. Now, let me plug a couple of things, and then we'll get to the special report and the interview. First, healthrangerstore.com is your resource for backup food supplies and also superfoods and nutritionally dense foods, where we have, of course, laboratory tested certified organic foods, lots of them to choose from, and personal care products, fragrance-free laundry detergent and a dishwasher, automatic dishwasher detergent and body soap and all kinds of things, plus supplements and herbal formulas, essential oils, and a whole lot more. Check all that out at healthrangerstore.com, and thank you for your support. In terms of readiness for these storms that's, you know, hitting California right now and almost a million people without power, be sure to check out BeReady123.com. That's BeReady123.com. They've got the solar generators, backup power systems there that are excellent and can help keep you going when the power grid goes down, as it is certain to do sooner or later. And in terms of the dollar money printing orgy that the Fed is going to have to carry out this year in order to buy up, I guess, $10 trillion in treasury debt, be sure to consider your gold and silver options. If you want physical gold and silver coins, it's metalswithmike.com. Metalswithmike.com, and that's the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company, and they have very competitive pricing, real-time pricing online, so that you can check the prices in real time, and they have guaranteed, insured, discreet delivery. And it's definitely something worth checking out if you want physical gold and silver in your hands at great prices. And then finally, in the health category, I haven't mentioned these folks in a while, but Juvent.com. Juvent offers the micro impact plate, which provides your body with a form of, you could call it kinetic nutrition. It's a revolutionary device. Go to Juvent.com, Juvent.com. I use it every morning as part of my warm up and wake up routine. I wake up, I hop on the Juvent plate for a few minutes, and it creates circulation, blood flow, and good, you know, kinetic stimulation of the body's bones and tendons and muscles, and it's a great way to start the day. And a lot of other people use it for many other things. You can learn more about it at Juvent.com. All right, with that said, let's go to the special report here. The Axis of Resistance Nations are waiting for the USA to collapse before launching full assault on Israel. And then following that, we'll have the interview with David Steinman. Welcome to the special podcast analysis about the Middle East. Now, just to catch you up in case you haven't seen, after the U.S. bombed Syria and Iraq, some bombs in Iraq, mostly in Syria, that was late Friday evening USA time. Well, the U.S. then unleashed additional strikes against Yemen. Of course, Yemen being the country that whose militant units have been attacking ships bound for Israel, to or from Israel, and also cargo ships that are flying flags or that are linked to U.S. corporations or U.K. corporations. So the United States has escalated its bombing attacks. Now, according to Western media, these attacks are taking out, you know, command infrastructure and weapons storage and drone storage and launch sites and you know, intelligence centers and all kinds of things like that. And as I said in a previous podcast, it's actually like, you know, like Assad's shack in the backyard and Amal's barn. You know, I mean, this is all theater, okay? There may be a few weapons that have been hit, but for the most part, Yemen and in Syria, the weapons are stored underground. They're very mobile. It's impossible for the U.S. to know exactly where they are. And the U.S. advertised this whole thing. They probably called up the Syrian government and said, "Oh, we're gonna strike here and here and here in, you know, 12 hours. And so just letting you know in advance, and we have to do this for the theater effect on the U.S. population." And that's how these things go. It's mostly theater. It's a theatrical military to try to appear like the U.S. military and Pentagon is doing something. Now, notably, they did not attack Iran, and that's because Iran has put out kind of like a line in the sand that says, if you attack Iran, that is the actual
soil of Iran, then Iran will hit multiple U.S. bases and U.S. targets across the Middle East with its ballistic missiles. Well, apparently the U.S. got that message, and so they have decided they're not going to actually attack Iran. Again, they're afraid of Iran's retaliatory capabilities. Now, what I think we all need to keep in mind is that because the U.S. is getting a lot more aggressive in the Middle East, even if it's mostly theater, to the local people, it's still very alarming. It's angering. To the locals in Syria or in Jordan, for that matter, or the locals in Yemen or Iraq or Iran or even Turkey, certainly Lebanon and so on, and possibly in Egypt as well, to those locals, they are increasingly pressuring their government to do something about the United States. Because the presence of the U.S. and the continued U.S. interdiction of attempts at these countries to do things like expand agriculture, expand energy, cultivation, and exploration. You know, Syria has a lot of energy, but they can't get to it because the U.S. keeps interdicting Syria's efforts, you know, with bombs and wars and so on. But all these Middle Eastern countries, including Saudi Arabia, are coming to the conclusion that the U.S. cannot be tolerated in the region any longer. And certainly they've come to the conclusion that Israel cannot be tolerated any longer. And given the crazy, insane things that Israel is doing, like having their special forces dress up as medics and then infiltrate a hospital in the West Bank in order to murder three patients who were there as patients. Like, and that kind of murder, which, by the way, the U.S. State Department fully supports, even though it's a blatant war crime, a blatant violation of the rules of war. Well, the U.S. says, no problem, we support that anyway. So the Middle Eastern nations and people and leaders ultimately have decided the U.S. has to go. So let me lay this out for you. And understand that Iran, well, Middle Eastern people in general are highly intelligent individuals, even though in the Western media they're depicted as, you know, low IQ goat herders and people who don't know how to read and write and all this garbage. Like that's just some crazy Western media caricature of what Middle Eastern people actually are, whether they're Persian or Arabic or Sunni or Shiite. You need to understand, the cradle of civilization as we know it came out of the Middle East. I mean, the invention of geometry, you know, some of the most capable mathematicians and philosophers throughout world history came out of the Middle East, okay? So don't be fooled into thinking that these are stupid people. These people, I would argue, by and large, but especially their leaders, are far more intelligent than the leaders of Western nations. Of course, that's not saying much either, because the leaders of Western nations are woke morons. You know, it's not hard to outthink Joe Biden. It's not hard to outthink Justin Trudeau, right? But I'm even saying that the leaders of the Middle East are far more capable than anybody in the U.S. State Department, in the Biden administration, in the U.K. government, in the German government, and so on. There's no competition of who is smarter and who has better strategy. And strategy requires long-term thinking, long-term planning, understanding geopolitical dynamics, and having patience. The Western nations have no patience and they have no plan. Their plan is just, well, we just bomb anybody we want to bomb. If they don't do what we want, we bomb them and that's it. That's their plan. They don't have any long-term plan of like an overarching strategy of how the U.S. is going to assert power and influence in the Middle East. Such a plan like that does not exist. Their plan is just bomb everybody and just kill, 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 bomb, 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 you know, support genocide, whatever. So the real plan from the leaders of the Middle Eastern nations, I believe, is not at first a plan of kinetic engagement with the West. No. The real plan is to survive and have patience and wait for the U.S. to collapse. And the best analysts and the best geopolitical leaders in these other nations that are opposed to U.S. involvement in the Middle East, they are keen observers of what's happening in the U.S. They understand the U.S. is very close to a civil war. It's very close to secession. It's also very close to currency collapse or a banking collapse, a debt collapse. Do you realize that this year in 2024, the U.S. Treasury will have to auction off $10 trillion in debt? $10 trillion, because that's roughly how much is coming due that has to be rolled over. How are they going to find buyers for $10 trillion in debt unless the Fed becomes the buyer? So then the Fed prints the money and buys the debt, and then we spiral closer and closer to hyperinflation. But the rest of the world is watching this and seeing exactly where this is headed. The U.S. empire is on its last legs. The bully nature of what the U.S. has done around the world since World War II, toppling regimes it did not like, regime change type of operations, using the CIA to carry out assassinations, to rig elections, to cause, color revolutions and uprisings, which they also did in the United States, against Trump, of course. But that era of U.S. dominance and U.S. hegemony, and especially dollar hegemony, that era is coming to an end. So if you're Iran or you're Syria, you don't want escalation right now because time is on your side. The more time that goes by, the weaker the United States becomes, or the closer the U.S. gets to collapse. Also, military recruitment is collapsing in the United States. The Pentagon has gone woke, so they're not really turning out soldiers or anybody who can really fight in the military anymore. They're just churning out, at the lower ranks and the younger, quote, soldiers, just snowflakes and woke morons who have no courage and no capabilities whatsoever. I know there are exceptions to this, like, Navy SEALs and BUDS training and so on, but I'm talking about the generic military recruitment right now is very pathetic. And that's also true in the IDF. But my point is that the other nations are watching this and they're seeing how rapidly the U.S. is collapsing. And they know that all they have to do is just wait. Just wait for the collapse. And then after the collapse, that's when they would initiate a massive kinetic attack against any remaining U.S. forces in the area, as well as Israeli forces. So remember that I was told by one of my contacts in Lebanon, who is a Christian, by the way, not like an enemy of America, actually a friend of America, but just kind of giving me the lay of the land. That contact told me that, according to their knowledge, Hezbollah is gearing up to do a massive assault on Israel, to devastate Israel in about 2 years. And they're building up weapon systems, rockets, missiles, soldiers, and what have you, and also building tunnels. There's an intricate tunnel network underneath the border between Lebanon and Israel. So that tunnel network, I'm told, I have no way to know, but I'm told it is as extensive as the tunnel network underneath Gaza, which apparently is like thousands of kilometers of tunnels somehow. I mean, that's unimaginable, but that's what they say. So this tunnel network is going to allow Hezbollah to pop up behind Israeli soldiers and Israeli tanks and so on when the day comes that Hezbollah decides to completely take out Israel, because the United States of America has already collapsed at that point. In other words, when America no longer has the ability to just print more money and find buyers for it, or when Washington, D.C. has collapsed, it's been gutted for whatever reason, and the U.S. military is no longer effective at protecting or shielding Israel, then all the forces that despise Israel's existence in the region, including Hezbollah, that's when they will initiate a full assault on Israel, and America won't be there to help them. The United States won't be able to help them. You know, how's the U.S. going to have soldiers if the U.S. can't issue paychecks to the military, right? Can't conduct maintenance on the ships. I mean, the collapse of Washington, D.C. is, it's in the works. It's coming. And when that day happens, Israel has no more protection. Now, maybe that's a couple of years away. Maybe 5 years, maybe 5 months. I don't know. I have a feeling that some horrific economic events are much closer than a couple of years. But the destruction of Israel by other forces in the Middle East is probably several years away, not months. And Israel will fight like mad, of course, for its survival. And it does have the Samson option. It will launch nukes. And it will probably kill hundreds of thousands of victims in Arab countries. And even given that, all this, the knowledge of that only serves to reinforce the need in the minds of those nations to have a very fierce attack against Israel. A combined, simultaneous attack from multiple nations to try to wipe out Israel as quickly as possible in order to stop Israel from being able to launch more nuclear weapons. So Israel is actually setting up conditions of its own total destruction. And yes, it will carry out probably, you know, nuclear retaliation, and there will be a lot of mayhem and death and destruction in the Middle East. And Israel will go down in history as the genocidal Zionist, Zionazi nation that not only slaughtered tens of thousands of innocent Palestinian women and children in their homes, in hospitals, and in refugee camps, but Israel will also go down in history as the nation that launched nukes against civilian populations just because it was being defeated. And as a last desperate, you know, mutual suicide act, Israel decided to just murder hundreds of thousands of other innocent civilians across the region and to render their farms and orchards unusable, you know, for generations to come. So that's going to be the legacy of Israel, most likely. A nation run by war criminals and lunatics, madmen, who unleashed hell upon the planet. That's the direction Israel is going. And the U.S. empire will be remembered as a bully system, a militant terrorism nation that exploited its power over its currency and its military to carry out acts of terrorism for decades, if not generations, against other nations all around the world. And then out of that, I hope that we revive the American spirit, perhaps starting in Texas and expanding from there. We're going to launch the new America, and we're going to have a new nation that does not engage in global colonial, you know, warmongering around the world, and that does not print money endlessly, a nation that does not mutilate children and have wide open borders. And I pray that we all live to see that day come, because that's the America that we thought we grew up in. And it turns out that's the America we're going to have to work hard to recreate after the fall of our current nation. So thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, Brighteon.com and naturalnews.com. Take care. Welcome, everyone, to today's interview here on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and you're going to love our guest today because he's an author, a father, an activist about clean food and clean living and clean products and so on. As you know, if you follow me for any length of time, this is one of my favorite topic areas, and it's something that I practice every single day myself, avoiding all these toxins that can promote a degenerative disease or loss of cognitive function or cancers or what have you. So our guest today is author, activist, and father, David Steinman. His website is williamsteinman.com. And his newest book coming out is called Raising Healthy Kids, Protecting Your Children from Hidden Chemical Toxins Every Day.
And you can find that on Amazon and other booksellers. And that's coming out shortly in just a couple of, weeks or a couple of months here, depending on, I guess, how quickly they get these shipped out. But welcome, David. It's great to have you on the show today.
Oh, Mike, it's great to be here. I've been a big fan of your writing for years.
Have you really? Oh, well, that's nice to hear.
You have been so informative. And your stories get a lot of hits, too. I've read a lot of your stories over the years.
Well, thank you so much.
I think you've taught me a lot, and I really appreciate it.
Wow. Well, that means a lot coming from you. But we have so much in common in terms of our interests. You know, I got into food science looking at heavy metals in nutritional supplements, for example, and then, you know, ended up building a lab and doing all kinds of testing. And I want to ask you, what got you into this area that you've been writing about for many years? You have another book. Here it is, Diet for a Poisoned Planet, going back to 2006. So you've been teaching this for quite some time as well. What got you started?
Well, I grew up in Los Angeles, California. I fished all of my teen and earlier years in the Santa Monica Bay. And when I was an investigative journalist for LA Weekly, we did a study that measured the levels of pesticides and industrial chemicals in people eating fish from the Santa Monica Bay.
Oh, wow.
And we discovered that people who ate the most locally caught fish had much higher levels of pesticide and industrial chemical residue, DDT and PCBs.
Not a surprise.
I was one of the people who had my own blood tested, and I had really high levels. Even though I was in my 20s, I had levels like someone who'd been exposed in an industrial accident. Wow. So I learned that 2,000 tons of DDT had been dumped into the Santa Monica Bay by a chemical company called Montrose that manufactured DDT well into the 80s in Los Angeles. That's really? How I got poisoned. I testified before Congress. We got the Santa Monica Bay designated as a Superfund site. And everyone was asking me, well, what is safe to eat? And this was before the internet, and there was very little information. That's when I published Diet for a Poisoned Planet, which became a bestseller. And it shared with people not only safe seafood, but what was safe to eat when it came to veggies, grains, meats, dairy, et cetera.
Wow. Well, and you and I both know, we've both been through this for many years, that the pesticide and herbicide manufacturers engage in all sorts of shenanigans, from paying people to ghostwrite, you know, quote, scientific articles, or being in bed with regulators and so on. All kinds of subterfuge in order to keep their toxins legal in the food supply. What have you seen in that area that stands out?
Well, you're right. They write the laws. I mean, the pesticide industry has written all the laws regulating pesticides. The chemical industry has written the laws regulating chemicals. That's why we're in such a bad situation now. You know, for many years, one of the myths that I try to bust in the new book, Raising Healthy Kids, is the one that a little bit of a poison like atrazine is okay to drink every day in your water, for example. We know from epidemiological studies that people who ingest chemicals like atrazine or benzene develop excess cancers.
That's right.
A little bit is not okay. The only attitude you can have as a parent is zero tolerance, because a little bit of atrazine or benzene in your drinking water is not okay for your pregnancy. It's not okay for your child. It's not okay for your adult body as a parent. And people are willing to accept that they're going to be drinking atrazine or another chemical in their water, because public officials will say, well, it's only 2 parts per billion. Do you know how small that is? That's like a drop of water in a swimming pool.
But when they're hormone disruptors, that's a huge dose.
Well, yeah, and it's not just a drop, because we're being exposed to so many different ways.
That's right.
And we know, Mike, we know from the studies, for example, that everyday exposure to chemicals like phthalates will cause learning difficulties, cognitive difficulties, attention deficit disorder, modified gender behavior, increased risk for cancer. And these risks come when kids are exposed at everyday levels.
That's right. And it's a combination,
yeah.
like you said. But, you know, it's heavy metals, pesticides, herbicides, the plasticizer chemicals, the phthalates, all of these things together. And, I mean, our audience understands this, that, of course, nobody in industry ever tests the combination of these and what kind of negative effects that might have on physiology.
Well, you're right. And but, you know, it's just that this isn't okay. You know, I want to kind of put a face on what I'm talking about. A lot of the work that my nonprofit is doing right now is in Cancer Alley, Louisiana. That's the stretch of the Mississippi River from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. It's about 85 miles of almost 200, around 200 factories, chemical factories. So when we say, let me just give you an example of how insidious this is and how bad it is. Say you're shopping for a wetsuit, right? Or a jump rope or something. You know what that's made from? It's made from neoprene, right? What most wetsuits still are made from neoprene.
Yes.
The handle in your jump rope might be made from neoprene. Well, I was just down in Reserve, Louisiana at the Fifth Ward Elementary School. And there's about 400 kids and staff there through fourth grade. The school is right next to the Denka plastic plant, which is emitting a chemical called chloroprene, at levels up to 70 times above what the EPA allows. These kids are breathing it every day. The teachers are breathing it every day. Chloroprene causes cancer. So, you know, when I go shopping now, I try to avoid neoprene. In this case, because I really have a lot of friends in Reserve, uh-huh. Louisiana, and I know they're getting hurt by my shopping decisions. So I'm really trying to put a face on the damage we're doing to kids. That area of Louisiana, by the way, has among the highest cancer rates in the country.
Yes, yes. And I should also point out, you know, your book, Raising Healthy Kids, which is, it's coming out. It looks like the official published date is March 5th, but I guess people can pre-order it right now on Amazon or other booksellers. But kids, especially because they're in the developmental stages, they are highly, highly susceptible to exposure to these toxins where, you know, the brains are developing, hormones are developing, you know, body organs and tissues are being created. And the disruptive capabilities of even small exposures is magnified in children, is it not?
It is, and particularly during pregnancy. That's why in Raising Healthy Kids, I talk a lot about what to do during pregnancy, what chemicals to avoid. You know, you go to the doctor as a couple who are pregnant, and the physician will tell you, well, get enough folic acid, don't smoke, don't drink. But they don't tell you that Johnson's baby shampoo that you're using is riddled with phthalates.
Uh-huh.
And they don't tell you that the hairspray you're using has phthalates, and that if you continue using these during pregnancy, you're going to affect your child's mental abilities. Maybe they will lose a point or two off their IQ. But you know, I've just been helping my kids get through college apps, and a point or two of IQ is a big deal, you know? And when we spread it across the nation, you wonder why there's so much societal dysfunction and everyone's looking at the symptoms. But Mike, I really believe that if we take a deeper biological look, we'll see a lot of the societal dysfunction is because kids' brains have been damaged and they're not as able to reason and deal with factual life.
Oh, you've just...
Because they don't have the capability to do that.
You just nailed it. Yeah. I think that we are living in a poisoned world. And as you just said, I believe, as a food scientist myself, you know, I've developed methods for quantitation of herbicides, for example, glyphosate in our lab and so on. I believe that these exposures, not just herbicides, but the other toxins in food and personal care products, I believe they lead to violent behavior. They lead to more criminal type of, you know, violence. They lead to infertility. They lead to an inhibition of social developmental skills because of the neurological interference. And so our kids are growing up less able to get along with other kids, more prone to violence, more prone to emotional outbursts. Does this resonate with some of your own research?
Oh, it's definitely, you know, the more kids that are given good food, toxin reduction during pregnancy, the better society will get. And it's, we both agree on that. But people really haven't begun to see that. That's why we don't have zero tolerance, and we allow so many different back to Cancer Alley, the folks there are drinking water with hexachlorocyclopentadiene, atrazine, simazine, benzene, phthalic. It's in their drinking water.
Wow.
So, you know, you can't do that to kids. They're going to get sick. I interview people there, you know, whose children were born with, listen, in the book, I interview people whose children went to daycare and they didn't know their daycare center water was contaminated with chemicals called PFAS, poly and perfluoral alkyl substances. Those are the chemicals 3M invented for stain resistance water repellent, firefighting, and they have their uses, but they're extremely toxic and they're showing up everywhere in the drinking water. So, you know, in the book, I share stories about parents who didn't check their preschool drinking water and their kids got poisoned with PFAS.
Yes.
What are you going to tell a kid with 100 parts per trillion of PFAS in their blood and they're 2 years old and they've already got immune disease or kidney disease?
Well, yeah, and it's shocking to me that anybody would drink tap water, but people do. People do because there's not a strong national message that, hey, you should never drink just straight municipal water. I mean, I can't even imagine that. But to the average person, they're told, oh, it's perfectly safe. And why is it safe? Because we dumped all these extra chemicals in it to kill the microbiology. That's pretty much what water treatment is. It's just, let's just blast it. Let's nuke it with chlorine and whatever. Let's kill the microbiology. Now it's safe. But it's not because they don't look at all these other things that are in the water. They're not even testing for most of them.
You know, one of the things I tell folks, because I wrote Raising Healthy Kids for anyone who's on a budget, because I'm an activist, I'm always on a budget. And I pointed out to folks, you can filter your water, don't need to test. And let me tell you why I'm saying that. We know, like you said, Mike, the water is at least going to be contaminated with disinfectant byproducts that cause cancer. Those are the trihalomethane.
The chloramines and so on, yeah.
Yes, and those cause cancer, and it's very well documented that they cause bladder and other cancers. But if you can buy a faucet filter that will remove about 80 to 95% of contaminants for about $25.
Yeah.
You can buy a filter pitcher like Zero Water that you can pour your water through again and again remove a lot of the contaminants. And you can do this for less than $50. Now, if you're rich, you can go buy a $300 reverse osmosis system for under your sink, which is great, and an even better way at removing them. But the point we have to teach and share with people is that you do need to filter your water. You can't be naive and just trust that what's coming out of there is from the Garden of Eden, because as you point out, it's got disinfectant byproducts. And as I pointed out, in many areas of the country, especially the Midwest with the surface water from the Ohio and the Mississippi, atrazine, simazine, and so many other chemicals that are measured and that we've discovered in the drinking water through public source.
Oh, yeah. You know, so, years ago, we put out the call for people to send us water samples from all across the country. And I think we got 600 water samples and we ran, I don't recall the exact number, but it was in the hundreds. We ran that all through ICP-MS. And I think we did some time of flight mass spec analysis on that. And what we found was just mind blowing. And that's why to this day, I drink nothing but rainwater in this is a stainless steel bottle. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rainwater in stainless steel. I don't drink out of plastic. Even my smoothie, it's in glass, folks. There's a reason it's in glass. And I don't drink well water because well water is crazy polluted. And this, I've heard people who live on farms are like, oh, I don't drink city water. I drink well water. Like, do you have any idea what's in well water? It's every agricultural runoff chemical goes into the water table. Okay, that's what's in your well water, plus maybe arsenic on top of that too, right? Some of these other metals or elements that get in, that leach in. You might have, you know, lead in there. Who knows? Maybe crazy high iron. Who knows? But rainwater is the only water, or I would say heavily filtered water, is the only water that's safe to drink. And you mentioned Zero Water. That's a water filter company. Every time we've tested water filters, and we've done several tests, Zero Water has every time proven to remove nearly 100% of the contaminants. So that they're doing a great job.
You know, one of the things we did for in reserve, oh, actually, this was in St. James, another city in Cancer Alley, is we brought them Zero Water pitchers to use, because the first rule of being an activist is you have to be healthy. It takes a lot of energy. You're always fighting. You have to have a lot of hope. And these things really do require you to be healthy. So
yeah,
we made sure that in the community we had left a number of pitcher filters. And then I mentioned the Fifth Ward Elementary School. We are shipping air filters down to every for every classroom. Those will be there in the next month.
Nice.
So the kids.
Well, where are you getting the funding for donating filters? I'm curious.
This is a project with a really good cleaning company called Ecos. Do you know Earth Friendly Products?
Oh yeah, Ecos. They make like fragrance-free laundry detergent, things like that, right?
Yeah, they're the leading green cleaning company.
Yeah, I've recommended their detergent to a lot of people.
Yeah, and they're virtually all plant-based. It's a really good brand, and Ecos is helping with the funding for the air filters, plus contributing cleaning products to the school so that they can have cleaner indoor air. We hope to put on in for Earth Day a green cleaning symposium at the school for the kids, so they can go home and educate their parents and say, hey, mom and dad, we could be doing a better job at home and I'd be healthier and smarter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, well, David, let me ask you this, since you mentioned Ecos, and this is not an exaggeration. There have been many times over the years where I have smelled someone's laundry detergent and, you know, they're using Tide or whatever, you know, off-the-shelf garbage to wash their clothes, and they're using dryer sheets, which are filled with all these incredible cancer-causing toxins, and I can smell it on them. And I don't do this at social events, but maybe in a work environment or something, I would say, look, you need to just go buy some Ecos laundry detergent that's completely fragrance-free. Stop soaking your clothes in toxic chemicals in your washing machine. You need to get rid of that. Go buy Ecos. And usually people are taken aback by that. They're like, you can smell my detergent? Oh, yeah, I can smell your detergent 20 feet away. I know you're even in the building before I even see you. I can smell it because you're like a walking bomb of toxic fragrance chemicals, right? And I'm pretty blunt about it.
Yes.
It's a way to win friends and influence people. Yeah. but do you find this as well? I mean, talk about laundry. That's another vector of toxic exposure.
I have a really good story. We have a whole chapter called Homesick in Raising Healthy Kids. And to do this chapter, I interviewed teenagers from the Shamakos Project in Salinas, California. This is a really interesting joint project between UC Berkeley and the teenagers of Salinas, California, which has been one of the most pesticide inundated cities in the country. But a group of teenagers did a study there with persons who clean homes, and they put backpacks on the people and measured the amount of toxins that they were being exposed to from the cleaning products, and they were really high. Then they gave them non-toxic cleaning products, and the amount of exposure to the cleaning people themselves went way down. Now, most of the people there that they studied were Latinx. And one of the kids in the study told me, you know, one of the things in our culture is that we think clean smells like Fabuloso.
Right. That's true. And I lived in South America, and I know that laundry and cleaning products in most of Latino culture is supposed to smell like very strong fragrance.
Yeah. And so the teens are teaching their moms and dads themselves about, hey, mom and dad, we don't need to nuke the home because I have asthma and I want to be healthy. So the kids are taking their moms and dads shopping for green cleaning products. The interesting thing about this project is that it has spread throughout Salinas, and Salinas is really is a town that shows us when we make changes in our shopping habits, they have profound effects. Let me just tell you one little more story about Salinas. I used to go there in the 90s and early 2000s, and the schools there are carved out of the farm fields. They grow lettuce and strawberries and other fruits and vegetables. It's called the Salad Bowl of America. And the fields were being sprayed with diazinon, chlorpyrifos, and other really toxic pesticides right by the schools. I went back to Salinas during the pandemic when I was writing Raising Healthy Kids, and I went to the same schools. And it was a miracle. They were all surrounded by organic strawberry and lettuce fields. The kids were playing in such a much safer environment. And I called one of the teachers whom I know, and he said, well, you know, the reason why this is happening is because of people like you, David, who are buying all those organic strawberries and all that organic lettuce and other foods. You're motivating the farmers here to plant their fields with more organic crops. And as a result, the kids in the schools are also getting the benefit because they're no longer being exposed on a regular basis to the organophosphates that would otherwise be sprayed on the fields.
That's right.
And I was really emotionally charged by that, Mike. I stayed there for a while and just cried a little bit because, you know, for years, people like you and me, you know, we've been buying the organic strawberries and the lettuce, and people have been telling us we're dumb, we're fools, we're paying too much for our food. But we were doing it for just this very reason. I had never seen the faces of the kids that I was helping. But being in Salinas and seeing how the fields had changed around the schools, I did see the faces of the kids we were helping.
You make a really great point.
I was overcome by that.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And it's not only about what we are exposed to as the end consumer. It's about upstream. It's about what goes into the farm fields and what goes into the air there, what goes into the streams, obviously. And, you know, pesticide and herbicide runoff is extremely toxic. That's why we have dead zones in the oceans. And it's, you know, it's astonishing to me. I've said before, David, but hold on, I want to show your website. HealthyLivingMagazine.us is also your publication, correct?
Yes, yeah.
And then your main website again, DavidWilliamSteinman.com. Okay, great. But, you know, I've said before that the human race is the only species on planet Earth that deliberately poisons the food for its offspring. I can find no other example of that. And I'm a strong observer of nature. And you know, I live closer to nature. I live out in the country and observe animals, all kinds of life. Nobody poisons their children except human beings at the grocery store and in the laundry aisle and the personal care aisle and the deodorants and the shampoos and all that garbage. How can we humans be so foolish to keep doing this?
How can we as humans be so foolish as to keep doing this?
Yeah, I just
don't
get it.
Is that a rhetorical question?
Well, no, it's a serious question. And we're supposed to be smarter than all the animals on planet Earth, but yet I have field mice that have better health habits than the typical consumer at the grocery store.
I think people are largely uneducated about the topic. You know, our movement, Mike, the anti-toxic movement, is probably the youngest environmental movement in the world. We only began in the 60s with Rachel Carson's book. We didn't even have the vocabulary to be anti-toxic. Who had ever spoken about a part per million, part per billion, much less a part per trillion, or an environmental impact report or heard names like chlordane, dieldrin, heptachlor. This is all a new vocabulary.
True.
So when you ask how could we allow this, we didn't even have the words to describe it until the 60s. So in some ways, our movement has made huge progress in the last, it's 50 years old. It's just starting.
Well, yeah, but David, I mean, Silent Spring, when she wrote that, the media was open to talking about toxins in the environment. Today, I would argue the corporate media is all in bed with the chemical manufacturers. The media, they attack the things that you and I are saying. You know, the media is out there saying, "Oh, you can eat unlimited amounts of organophosphates or glyphosate. It's all perfectly safe. See, this paper says so." Rachel had a much more open-minded audience at the time that her book came out. Don't you think?
No, I respectfully disagree. I think that the media sensationalizes a lot of what's going on, and I think that's really bad. For example, when they talk about endocrine disruptors, they'll go right into gender. They'll go right in from endocrine disruption to fish and drag or blurred sexual organs, which is all important, but the implication there is that gender deviance from the norm from the what used to be is somehow weird or bad. Robert F. Kennedy does that, when he talks about atrazine, he talks about sex change and stuff, and these are effects, but they're not the ones that we need so much to be. The ones that we should be focused on are cancer,
And infertility.
infertility,
Yeah.
and the fate of our planet. So I think that there's a lot of sensationalism. I think the media is like I get a lot of my news from The Guardian, the UK publication,
Yeah.
which I think does a good job of coverage.
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
I think the
Because
New York Times has been a little bit behind, way behind. They finally got around to this last year to saying that PFAS, those forever chemicals, are everywhere. But they don't really go into the whole intersection. What we need to explain to people and what we're trying to do now, for example, in Cancer Alley with a publication we're doing there, is point out that those chemicals like phthalates that you're buying in your Johnson's baby products, though they claim there are none, we've discovered them in those products and filed litigation. But what we're trying to point out is that these chemicals that you're buying are not only harming you, your health, but they're also causing, hastening global boiling. So I went down to the southern edge of Louisiana, as we've been talking about Cancer Alley, down past Houma, and you can go there, and we're losing parts of the United States now to sea rise. I visited an island called Isle de Jean Charles that used to be 32,000 acres, and now it's about 300 or 22,000 acres, many thousands of acres, and now it's just a few hundred because of sea rise. This is happening in America, and this is being caused because of all the chemicals we're using that are being manufactured at places like Cancer Alley or in, Houston and Beaumont, Texas.
Wait,
And
you're saying sea rise is caused by these industrial chemicals? What are you saying?
with global warming, these are the chemicals of global warming. These are chemicals that are haste, emitting CO2 emissions, emitting CO2, and consequently hastening global warming, which is causing sea rise throughout the world. But we're seeing it here in Louisiana. You go down to southern Louisiana to Houma there, and some of the islands that were there, as I mentioned, are disappearing
Well,
because of sea rise.
you and I would definitely differ on this particular topic, which is fine because I love higher CO2 for the photosynthesis and the forests and the plants that use it. But we don't, that's not the focus of our conversation today. You and I might differ on that, but where we absolutely agree is that these toxic chemicals are harming not only human life, but also ecosystems. They're harming animal life, and they are causing long-term transgenerational effects for the human race. So, in fact, I want to ask you this about, you know, someone, a child born today may have a difficulty conceiving because of her mother's exposure to these chemicals during gestation. But many of these effects are known to persist for multiple generations. So aren't we looking at an even worse situation three or four generations down the road if we don't stop this exposure?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Our kids today are among the first generations to have their genetics completely chemically modified.
Yeah. Whoa. What's going on? What is that, guys? Wow, that was like a bonus special effect right there. Keep recording. What was that? Okay. You never know. Every single day, there's a surprise. I thought we were all getting exposed to toxins there for a moment, and we were hallucinating. But no, it was just Skype. All right, see if we can get him back, but keep rolling. So, folks, this is a fascinating conversation. We're going to see if we can get David back. I don't know why that disconnect happened, but. Even though, as you just heard, David and I probably disagree about carbon dioxide and the whole global warming issue, we strongly agree on the role of these toxins, harming human beings, destroying children, destroying fertility, and causing cancer, causing ecological destruction. And many of these chemicals, which we didn't really get to this, they're incredibly persistent in the environment. Some of them that he mentioned are called, for example, forever chemicals, because they stick around essentially forever. They're almost impossible to destroy unless you subject them to very high heat. And so these are not natural chemicals. These are synthetic. These are things that humans were never exposed to until, let's say, the last, 75 years, I guess, depending on the chemical. Some are more recent than that. So the human body doesn't know how to handle these. It can't process them. It doesn't know how to detox. And that's why I believe that avoiding exposure is absolutely critical to being able to navigate and survive this era of incredible contamination. And that's where David's book, I think, can be very valuable, Raising Healthy Kids, Protecting Your Children from Hidden Chemical Toxins Every Day. Okay, David, I think we have you back. I'm not sure if we have your video yet, but I think it's coming in. Yeah, welcome back. There we go. You're back.
I got those gremlins. Okay.
We're back. That was the most entertaining and fascinating disconnect that we've ever seen on this show. We got some interesting hallucinogenic patterns that actually happened as you were being disconnected.
Oh, how interesting. I would have liked to have seen those. Well, but the kids today are genetically chemically altered. When my father was born prior to World War II. So his genes that I inherited were completely different.
That's right.
Than what my kids are getting from me being born well after World War II, when I've been very exposed, and my kids' kids will have even more genetically modified genes. And I guess what we mean by that is the expression changes. The body may produce a little more estrogen because of the past generational exposures, for example,
yes,
or may not utilize testosterone as efficiently as needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And genetic integrity for the next generation. So we would expect to see more deformities, developmental deformities in children, as well as, inherited infertility problems because of, there's also epigenetics, on top of just straight genetic alterations and chromosomal alterations. There's epigenetics that, frankly, modern scientists don't fully understand.
I think we talk about kids and raising healthy kids, but one of the points to keep in mind is that we adults also need to take care of our health.
Yes.
And you're mentioning epigenetics, and we develop in the context of an environment, sexually, gender-wise, all of that is within inputs from the environment. And The difference today, though, is that never before has the body been exposed to so many synthetic toxins. So even adults are being exposed, and we need to take care of our health in order to take care of our kids. So, part of raising healthy kids is also about what you need to do as a parent and how to be an example to them, to your kid, your own kids, in
That's
what you
right.
do.
Well said. Yeah, exactly. And this is, we don't see any advocacy by our federal government in teaching people how to avoid toxic exposure, like zero. Where's the Surgeon General on this? Why isn't the Surgeon General, who's supposed to be commenting on public health, saying, "Hey, by the way, especially if you're pregnant, I mean, you already know maybe don't drink alcohol and don't eat fish with mercury in it, but what about all these other toxins that affect the, neurodevelopmental processes?" There's no messaging from so-called authorities, not from the FDA, not from the CDC, not from the NIH, nothing.
Oh, you're when I early on in this conversation of ours, we talked about when you're pregnant and you go to the doctor's office, they tell you not to smoke, take your folic acid, don't drink. But you're right, they never mention chemical toxins. And in fact, it's like when you want so many couples I interviewed were having difficulty with pregnancy, just getting pregnant. And I interviewed a number of hairdressers, and what I learned was during the pandemic, when most of them were out of work, there was a big baby boom. And the reason why there was a big baby boom, and one of the hairdressers told me this frankly, is because we're not being exposed to all the chemical toxins in these products anymore.
That's true.
So we were able to have kids. But what about mom who is pregnant, who is getting her hair done or putting on the fragrance? Those phthalates are going right to the baby. And that's nanoplastic going into your baby's brain. And the two biggest sexual organs in the human body are the human brain and the genitalia. And they both need the right dose of sex hormones in order to develop in what we would call an unquote normal unquote pattern.
Yeah.
And we don't tell parents to cut down on the cosmetics. To cut down on some of the polluted foods that they're eating and to buy more organic. But if they did, they would have safer pregnancies, fewer complications. The kids would be born healthier with less risk of obesity, cancer, and attention deficit disorder. And this isn't me speaking. These are the studies, the peer-reviewed studies, telling us that these kinds of simple changes, and you're right, they're not discussed by the doctor. But if they were, they would bring so many more healthy pregnancies to the forefront.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the other thing. Let's just talk about economics here for a second, David, because something like 20 to 22%, I think, of our GDP is spent on so-called healthcare, medical costs, or as I call it, typically sick care, right? That's extraordinary. It's one of the highest percentages in the world of any developed nation. Now, you and I both know this, that if we had good information out there to teach people how to reduce exposure to toxic chemicals in food and home products and personal care products, we could dramatically reduce healthcare expenditures, not only for the children on things like asthma and allergies and so on, but for adults on things like infertility and cancer. The prevention. The payback on this is enormous. I mean, I can't cite a particular figure, but we could save, I believe, as a nation, we could save many tens of billions of dollars every year by not making ourselves sick. So what's wrong? Like, why can't we as a nation just come to our senses and start teaching this? Well, I guess I know the answer. Procter and Gamble. I mean, I know the answer, but the rhetorical question goes to you. What do you think?
We need to, people are not educated. I find that when, again, I'm going to come back to this. We are a young movement. Mike, we're a young movement. Who knows about the anti-toxic movement? And we're very powerful. As I said, we've made the markets for organic cosmetics, organic foods. We've changed this country for the better. Maybe it's hard not to notice because we're slowing down the damage, we're slowing down the rate of destruction, which is a hard thing to measure. But we are making a difference. We just need to be out there educating more people. It's why I wrote Raising Healthy Kids, and I wrote it in a way that anyone could read it and enjoy it and find that the issue is manageable, because it is manageable, but we need to teach. As you said, there's no education. But when we do teach, we get the results. For example, one of the reasons why heart disease rates are going down in America is because of education, not because of bypasses, not because of more cholesterol drugs. It's going down because people are eating healthier for their heart. And that's from public education. So when you suggest that we need to educate folks on toxics, yeah, we should. And then when you bring up Procter and Gamble, well, heart disease doesn't have all the enemies that healthy living has. And you're right. You're right. You're right. In Louisiana, we wanted to talk to folks about at this school about this about the chemical pollution there. But the chemical plants give money to the schools.
Of
They
course they
fund their
do.
extracurricular activities and educational programs. And so people are scared to talk out because they're afraid they'll be ostracized. So when you say P&G, there is a big damper on people feeling like they can speak out, whether in government, at the
And
top in Washington,
academia,
or at the grassroots.
universities, they take money from the pesticide companies. All day long. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to throw that in there. Look, we're almost out of time, but I want to make one final point, get your reaction on it. And folks, the book here is called Raising Healthy Kids, Protecting Your Children from Hidden Chemical Toxins Every Day. Be sure to get it. It's coming out March. You can pre-order it right now online. But look, this movement, as you call it, the anti-toxin movement, this movement transcends political parties, which I find really invigorating because, it's sort of, I think it had its foundations more in what we would consider left-wing politics, like pro-environmental, more left-wing politics. But today, I mean, conservatives and Christians care as much about healthy eating and even organics. And maybe I've been part of this push as well, but, Alex Jones was saying, you need to get water filters. And the media attacked Alex Jones for pushing water filters. They said it was a conspiracy that you needed to filter your water because Alex Jones is pushing a water filter. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, we have really crossed the Rubicon here. I mean, Alex Jones gets it that you got to have clean water. And now the media are anti-water filter because they want to attack Alex. But isn't this a universal thing? Like, it doesn't matter what your politics are. We should all want to live in a less toxic world or a toxin-free world, right?
Oh, Mike, thank you. I don't want to get the there's no politics in this. It's pure health. You and I know that. It's pure health. And there's not that many people who are able to talk about it and communicate it. You do it. You've been doing it for years. I've been doing it for years. And we are, but I want to say with hope, because that's what motivates us. We are making a difference. Just look at the markets that we've created. The fact that we can The average shopper can buy organic foods now for about the same price as conventionally sourced. Didn't happen by chance. It happened because you and I spoke out. We put our money where our mouths are. We bought the foods. People called us, fools. They said there was no difference. There is. And so I'm filled with hope, but we have to keep getting out there and spreading our message.
Yes. And you know what else is amazing? First of all, I just want to thank you, David, for taking the time with me today. This has really been fascinating. We'll have to do this again. But we are also seeing the decentralization of the ability to do laboratory testing. Like even my lab is an example of this. Like, we do mass spec testing. I've got a GC triple quad that's just come online. We're going to be testing for dioxins real soon here. I'm actually getting trained on that instrument coming up. Imagine dioxin testing in the hands of independent laboratories, which years ago, that was unthinkable. You would have had to go to a mainstream lab or a university. And there are some things they would just say, no, we don't want to be part of this testing because it's too sensitive, or, you know, we don't want to ruffle any feathers. Well, now, because a lot of this equipment's becoming more affordable, it's smaller scale. You can fit a triple quad mass spec in, well, something like this now. And it means that more and more people are going to have access to this. So I think the truth is going to continue to come out.
We're going to keep talking about it, you and I. And our movement is growing. Like you said, it's not political. It's just about having healthy babies, yes, raising healthy kids, and just helping them to be smart enough to cope in today's complex world.
I just consider this to be part of the pro-human movement. We love humanity. We want people to be well, healthy, purposeful in their lives, to live without pain and suffering, to live in a way that they can pass on a better world to their children. I mean, that's it. That's the pro-human movement.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, like I said in the beginning of the show, for years I've read your articles. I know all the hard work you have done to spread that message.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've been writing and I've, you know, picked them up, and I'm just so happy to have met you here because you're another fellow anti-toxic. You know, our movement is very powerful. It's at an intersection for environmental justice, climate change. It's just where everything comes together, because it's what you buy personally does have a ripple effect.
Yes.
And I hope in this show, by sharing my stories about Louisiana and Salinas, California, that I put some faces on the people that your smart shopping decisions are helping. I know these folks. They're so cool. I mean, I go down to Louisiana, I play guitar with one of my friends who lives in reserve. You know, I drink tea with another friend, or I'm in Salinas talking to the teenagers or meeting with the teachers. These are our fellow citizens.
Yeah.
And our shopping choices not only help us, but they're helping them too. And they appreciate it. They know it.
Absolutely. Well said. All right, David, we're going to have to end it there, but I hope we get a chance to talk again soon, because we have so much to share with people and we can help spread knowledge that makes a positive difference in people's lives. Thank you so much, David. It's been a pleasure to speak with you today.
Oh, let's do it again. Thank you, Mike. Thank
we shall. You. We'll do it again soon. I'll have my producer reach out to you. Thank you so much. The book, folks, again, is Raising Healthy Kids. Again, that's available at booksellers everywhere. Also, a previous book from David is Diet for a Poisoned Planet. And then his publication website is, what is it, healthylivingmagazine.us, right there. So avail yourself of his information. And thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger here. Brighteon.com, the uncensored platform so we can have these conversations without censorship. And thank you for your support. Take care, everybody. We'll talk again soon.
Well, as you can see, folks, we're headed into some very difficult times, and it's critical that we have the backup supplies that we need in order to make it through, navigate what's coming. And I'm really proud to be able to partner with suppliers of certain types of products and solutions that are sponsors or affiliates of ours. And I want to make you aware of one now in case you don't already know, this company called Goldbacks. And this is, there it is in focus. This is the box that the Goldbacks come in. And if you open it up, this is a whole stack of Goldbacks. These are the one notes. They have 1/1000th of a troy ounce of gold embedded into each note. And it's a beautiful design. There's the what the backs look like. And you're actually looking at the gold. And there's the front design. And they have these for different states. You can find out more information about these, their utility, their usability, the divisibility, and also the lab testing that we have done on these to verify the gold content and the gold purity. Just go to verifiedgoldbacks.com. That's an affiliate site. We earn a small commission on the sale of these, but it doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps support our platform. What I love about these is that even when the grid goes down, you have gold in a form that is instantly spendable. And these come in different notes. This is a one, but they have fives, tens, 25s, and 50s. And of course, the 50 is 50/1000th of a troy ounce of gold. And that's a much larger bill, and it's very thick. It's pretty heavy. It's pretty dense because, you know, gold weighs a lot. So with those bills, you have something that's storable and spendable and that contains real gold. You don't have to have, you know, faith in a government or a fiat currency that they can counterfeit and keep printing endlessly, which is destroying the value of the dollar and the euro and the yen. With these, they can't be counterfeited because they contain gold. You would have to somehow counterfeit gold, which is impossible. If you could counterfeit gold, the government would be doing it already, right? I mean, they just can't create gold out of nothing. I'm sure they've tried, but it's impossible to do that because of the laws of physics. Gold is an element on the table of elements. So these will maintain value and scarcity because they contain the physical element gold. Now, these are higher price per ounce than just a gold coin. You know, a gold coin, 1 ounce gold costs a certain amount. I don't know, $2,100 or $2,200, whatever it is right now. Goldbacks have a premium over the price of gold because of the format that it's in. It costs money to print this, to create this, the polymers, the designs. And the utility of this is, in my mind, far more useful than just raw gold itself. I mean, gold is great when you want to make large purchases. You know, if you're in an off-grid situation and you want to buy somebody's farm or vehicle or business or something, you could do that in gold coins. But you can't take a gold coin to the farmer's market and easily say, I want to buy a loaf of bread or a dozen eggs or a pound of beef or whatever. How are you going to make change for an ounce of gold that's worth a couple of grand? Well, the answer is here, goldbacks. This goldback right now is recognized as being worth a little bit more than $4. The amount of gold in it on a per ounce basis is a little bit over $2 of gold. And even if you melt it down, you can extract the gold and get the $2 of gold out. But as an intact goldback, it's recognized, and you can see that at the goldback website, as having over $4 value. And many merchants accept these at that value, including, you'll find out if you go to your farmer's market and talk about these, you'll find that more and more people are willing to accept these because of the intrinsic value they have, because of the gold they contain. Whereas it would be difficult for those people to accept, you know, a gold coin or even silver. A 1 ounce silver coin might be too much. You know, what is that, $35 or whatever the price is currently, where this is more divisible at about $4. So check these out at verifiedgoldbacks.com. I've been giving these away like crazy to people everywhere. I've been giving them to waiters and waitresses. I've been giving them to friends and family members. I gave them as Christmas gifts and at Thanksgiving get together last year. Everybody loves these. They go crazy over them because they're beautiful and they're pieces of art, and people recognize the intrinsic value of these. And frankly, they don't want to spend them. They don't want to give them away. They want to hold on to them because they're really, really beautiful and really durable as well. We had to melt these at, I think it was over 1100 Celsius in order to melt the gold out of them and burn off the polymers. By the way, it was not easy to destroy them. I destroyed easily over $1,000 worth of these in doing the lab testing, by the way, and the lab testing results are posted on the website, verifiedgoldbacks.com. So if you want to get a whole stack of these, I think this stack is, I think it's 100 units. So just order 100 ones at a time if you wish, or you can order a smaller volume if you just want to check them out. And you can get 5s, 10s, 25s, and 50s. And just consider this as part of your preparedness. It's got a completely different function and role compared to whole gold coins or silver coins or crypto for that matter, or land or ammunition. I mean, this is very liquid. It's very divisible. It has high utility, high recognizability, and high beauty factors that makes people really want to have these. So goldbacks, I think, should be part of our answer for preparing for unknown events, including bank failures, bank bail-ins, and, well, bank account confiscation by rogue governments. It's going to be very difficult for governments to take these from you, whereas in your bank account, they just issue an order and your bank just digitally steals all your money. Well, they can't digitally steal this. you have custody. You have it in your possession. You have it in your home or your safe or wherever you keep it, your super secret underground bunker location, whatever. It's going to be very difficult for any government or any corporation or any bank to just take it from you because it's under your control. It's in your possession. And that's why having physical gold backs is such a good strategy, I believe. Now, as a disclaimer, I'm not your financial advisor, obviously. There is risk in, I guess, any vehicle. Asset prices can go up or down depending on what happens. I would say that gold is going to go down if the world finds peace. Like if all the wars end tomorrow and everything's cool in the Middle East and everything's great in Ukraine and there's no more strife in the world, then gold will go down. So if you think that peace will break out tomorrow, don't buy gold. That's for sure. If more wars happen and oil prices go up and there are energy supply problems and more bombings of ships in the Red Sea, you know, and drone strikes from Yemen and things like that, you would tend to think that gold's going to go up compared to dollars. But I don't encourage speculation. I'm only trying to help you have information about assets that I believe will hold value and not lose value. I'm not even trying to gain any value. I'm just trying to not lose value. That's where gold backs really play a role. And also gold and silver coins, for that matter. Gold and silver will tend to hold value as they have for generations. And I believe that these will also hold value too because they contain physical gold at very precise amounts. So check it all out at verifiedgoldbacks.com. I'm Mike Adams, Brighteon.com, naturalnews.com. I'm a big fan of goldbacks, and it was Robert Scott Bell that gave me one of these one time at an event with, we were part of a movie that was being filmed by Dr. Andrew Wakefield. So that's where I got the first goldback, and now I'm helping thousands of people get turned on to these as well. So thank you, Robert Scott Bell. I didn't know about these until you gave me one. Now I'm handing them out everywhere too, so... Pay it forward, folks. Thanks for watching. God bless you all. Take care.